Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell even your mortal enemies about all this. You are listening to DJ Butterfly Feces here. One and only, you are listening to Cocooning from the Microphone. Now, people out there, if you're listening, get involved with the cause. You don't have to listen. You don't have to just listen. You can talk. Call in. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Now, if you're just joining us, you should have been here a lot sooner. I mean, this is an epic international-wide cause that we're trying to help the homeless epidemic and basically clean up this filthy and foul planet, which we have fouled up in our efforts to become a superior species. Now, honestly, I was basically just a guy living in McKinleyville. McKinleyville. You know, we've been all over, but I still say that place is the best. I still say that place was hands down something special. Better than something special, I say that place was just the place of all the places we visited. And really, I mean, I did everything there was to do in McKinleyville. I skied, I sledded, I snowboarded. We have a beach there, so I was able to surf. Windsurf, parasail. We did everything. I mean, really, I was the kind of guy who basically thought, I don't need to try so hard. I'm going to be the guy who just gets by. I'm going to be the guy who basically just coast a little bit, you know. I'll stop and smell the roses. I don't need some big, fancy career, a minimal job where I don't do much labor. I sit at my desk and the money just pours in. Pours in like you can't even imagine. No. I'm good. But basically, after a while, well, once I was a C average student. I did average. I did fine. Scored it okay. Nothing big. Nothing too big. I didn't compete much. I didn't try that hard. I was just getting by. You know, that's what I did. I just got by. And then one day I had left high school. And then I didn't realize, what am I going to do now, you know? So I should be doing something. My parents wanted me to get my own place and get a job, but, well, McKinleyville is such a great place to live that there's so many people already living there. There's not really a lot of vacancies. Sometimes you got to leave town to find a place, you know? Maybe leave more than town. You may have to leave the state. Just to find an affordable place. Or a job, something. You understand what I'm talking about. And the truth was, I had been coasting. I'd just been getting by. My parents had the money to send me to college. And it feels like everybody's going to college, you know, trying to get some high-demand skill, low labor, something. Everybody's trying. Everybody is. Damn, it's such a thing, you know. It's gotten so bad that people are just kind of doing bad all over. I stayed with my parents a little longer than I should have. They kind of let me stay because if I left, they have to talk to each other. They wanted me out, but not because they wanted time to themselves. They basically grew to hate each other, but didn't have the energy to leave, you know. Well, you're going to leave, but force to kick yourself. No. Sometimes it's just safer to be with somebody, anybody. And it was kind of too late for either one of them to find somebody else, so, well, there you go. What do you do? Now, the whole radio show originally on Blog Talk Radio, I was a disc jockey. I was a guy who basically used this very forum to rant about what's wrong with the world. And everything is wrong with it. There's problems everywhere. There's no shortage of material. I was going on and off and whatever about important things, you know. But here's the thing. A lot of people use the radio in every single form they can find for that. So the truth was, I was out of luck. I kid you not. Things were bad. I don't know what to do. I don't know. Finally, my parents told me they wanted me out. They found me annoying, and they found me as one more mouth to feed. It's not like they were going to enjoy being together, but they wanted one less annoyance in the house. Anywho, I basically packed my backpack. It was only half full. I packed it with only stuff inside it and the clothes I was wearing on my back, and I walked out. And then I walked out into the woods. We got a beautiful woods, a trail, a gorgeous creek, and a little waterfall. Got all that. I went to go see that. I don't know what I was thinking, but in a way, I was still in shock. I was thinking, my God, I really have a place to live. I think every single person who's, like, homeless at first doesn't quite register, like, oh, my God, now I'm on the street point. You know what I mean? When does it sink in? Dang. Anywho, there I was trying to just, you know, get by. And there they were. There was Organic OK. There was, this show was actually brought to you by him. There Organic was, and there was all his merry band. He had this whole band of brothers there. He had a whole bunch of different people there. I went to him and I told him, tell me something. What do you want to do? I'd like to help you. No, actually, what happened was I went to him and I basically said to him, I said, hi, thought I knew everyone here in town. And he explained to me, I thought that they were just vagrants, but in a way they weren't. Organic was this wealthy philanthropist who was going all around the world trying to basically help, you know, the planet. He was basically going and picking up garbage and trying to get homeless people off the streets and all that jazz. He was trying to help the homeless problem, the problem that had become abundant and maddening, this horrible epidemic that is basically, I think, destroying things. Things are bad. But why? Well, we know why, but the question is, why did it happen? Organic said he picks up garbage, encouraged others to do the same, and he picks up garbage. He picks up garbage. But at the same time, he's trying to basically help the homeless, get them off the streets. Dang. He asked me, you want to join? You want to join us? He said, look, I'll pay for everything. I'm going to pay to travel so we can go all over the globe and clean up the planet. And also, we can help the people on the planet. Fix the homeless problem. Fix things. You can do that. You can join us if you want to. You can do that. I said, yeah, sure. What else was there? I mean, in the back of my mind, I thought maybe I might go back home. Me and my parents will work things out, whatever. But they really kicked me out on the street. But the simple fact is, when you're 18, you're on your own. We have a system in this country that's every man for himself. Dang. I shook his hand, and they said, kneel down. They touched me on the shoulder with two fingers. I dubbed the DJ Butterfly Feces. What? From this point on, you got a name, right? No, you need a moniker handle. Like, I got Organic OK. All these guys here got a moniker. Yours is DJ Butterfly Feces. No, I didn't like that name. I did not. I tried to talk him out of it, but he explained the whole paradigm, the whole symbol of it all, about how butterfly feces, the fertilizer that it leaves behind, when the butterfly, everyone knows about the butterfly, when the butterfly crafts, that crap basically helps plants grow. You want a catchy name. I didn't like it, but, you know, who was I going to argue? this guy's just going to take care of me and help me. My whole life, I didn't even think about me doing like a big thing. I wanted to be big. I wanted to do something. I didn't think about doing something big, being part of the big picture. But then I realized I could. I could be part of the big picture. Heck, we're going to go around and we're going to help clean up and whatever. And, you know, yeah. Okay. Whatever. Now, you know, we went all over. I mean, this happened. I mean, I met these guys shortly. I was thrown out of my house shortly before New Year's. So as soon as basically we were done there, we hopped on a plane and flew all the way to Vicenza, Italy, to celebrate New Year's Eve and New Year's. New Year's Eve and New Year's. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's damn beautiful. Everywhere else, went all over. We went to all these certain parts of the world. We traveled. Essentially, we went up and down to all four corners. Now, when we last left you and you left us on the show, we were in Las Vegas. That's right, Vegas, baby. But keep something in mind. We didn't have a lot of money to play with out there. And come to think of it, neither did a lot of the people. See, we were there to help them. Let me just start by saying that not everyone in Vegas is rich enough to be able to afford to just burn their money on slot machines, roulette wheels, poker tables, horse and greyhound tracks, or anything else designed to just sap your money and leave you with nothing. I imagine a lot of the homeless people out there themselves were gamblers who just didn't know when to stop playing. Everybody who comes to Vegas comes to lose. The only winners are the people who run the casinos. They don't even gamble. For them, it's a sure thing. Now, I'd imagine that people on the streets in Vegas were mostly casino customers who didn't know when to say when. But nope, people of all kinds were cluttering up the streets. No, see, it wasn't just folks underground in the flood tunnels. I was wrong about that. There were vagabonds were all over the city, everywhere, on every street, every corner. Just like they were nearly everywhere else we went. And isn't that something that you think about the glitz and glamour of Vegas? It's not what you think, is it? See, I learned about them from every dang city we visited, and boy, we went everywhere. I'm just exhausted thinking about it. I feel old just thinking about most of my point. Oh, yes, every single city seems to have a homeless epidemic, bigger than you think, not to mention a litter on the street epidemic. Criminal. But hey, now I don't want to naysay everything about Las Vegas. You know, it's really cheap to live there. It is. Look around. The place is made of money. So they can afford to have those all-you-can-eat buffets. They can come, whatever. Look around, dude. They got money to spare. So you'd think they would be the ones really dealing with the homeless problem well. You'd think so. Now, there's still enough being done. Of course, you know. I mean, they have a homeless shelter like every other city. It ain't big enough. Not enough for a city that has, get this, one of the biggest homeless problems in the country. That's right. This wasn't just another city we were visiting. We were one of the most important cities. It had one of the biggest homeless problems in the U.S. That's right, Las Vegas. A place that really didn't look like, a place that, thank God, what the gamblers are putting into this place, whatever. This city was crying out for our help. It had been waiting for us. It was time. I sat down and think, what could I possibly do for all these people? What? Now, of course, we started with picking up all the stray garbage we could, and there were garbage everywhere, just like the homeless. For some reason, they thought to throw it all everywhere. Okay, we were supposed to do something, but what? I asked Organic, and you can pretty much guess what he told me. The same thing we've been doing everywhere else. We pick up the trash, and we try to get some people off the streets. I asked, but what do we do here specifically? He looked at me and smiled and said, let me drop some science on you. Las Vegas has a high homeless population, a lot of which are youths. It doesn't cost that much to live here. The city is so rich from all the gambling and legalized prostitution. Well, man, you can take my word for it. You can see it. They can afford to shelter and employ some of these vagrants, maybe all of them, but they don't want to. See, the more people are broke, the richer the rich get. You see the simple mathematics. What we are here to do is to change all that, as well as pick up the garbage that floods the streets. Now, we're going to get all into into knowing and helping them, and all that soon enough. But right now, let's focus on picking up the streets. Come on, let's pick up some nice trash. He says with a patronizing smile on his face, so cutesy, gay. Well, I just started picking up the litter I saw. We all did. Damn, it was everywhere. And the heat of Vegas made it even more of a daunting task. I mean, doing all this in this damning heat, damn, and the smell was especially strong. Finally, after picking up so much garbage, I started thinking about I should be getting paid in cash directly for this. Really, I mean, I know that basically he's saying he's comping me on all this, but I remember thinking I should get gotten a salary for this. Dang. It's 16 minutes after the hour here on the program, cocooning from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces, the one and only. Please, continue. Don't just listen. Get involved. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. This show is brought to you by Organic OK. And it's all, and there's a singer out there, a lady by the name of Maya Harrison. Check her out. She's touring the world herself. I basically asked Organic, even because they told me, we pick up the trash, we get some of these people off the streets. But how do we help them specifically? Well, right now let's focus on pick up the streets. First things first, pick up the garbage. Once you pick up the trash, pick it up. So I did. I started picking up things, whatever. And, you know, you'd think Vegas would be clean because they could afford to make it clean or whatever. But it wasn't just, like, the vagrants who were making a mess and whatnot. People were throwing their stuff everywhere. It was filthy. So we picked up the trash. Once again, we got our hands dirty. I mean, we wore gloves, but somehow you still felt like getting dirty, you know. You still want to shower after it's, dang, what a mess. Well, the heat of Vegas made it a really daunting task. I mean, doing all this in that desert Nevada heat. I mean, we're picking up the garbage. I mean, it's not like we're scrubbing the streets down or whatever with soap and disinfectant. But we're picking up garbage. It looked nicer. It looked cleaner. It looked more like what you expect Vegas to look like it looks in the brochures. I kept at it for quite a while, and then I thought, okay, you know what? Now I can make friends. I did. I'll tell you, Vegas was like every other city we'd seen so far. It's just like lines and lines of people in tents sleeping out and open, in the open streets. I sat down, so I had to talk to them like a person. That was probably the most good we did for them, even more than finding a place, just being a friend. I asked them if they were happy here. They looked at me and laughed. Well, I mean, like right here on the street? I'd rather have a place to live in, to be honest. You got one? I said, sort of. We're traveling around. We're cleaning up. This is trying to help the homeless. And I was like, oh, that's good. That's good. We could use that. I said, I'd rather be indoors. One guy told me, I don't want to live here anywhere else. It's beautiful here. You can panhandle it. The gambler's got stacks of bills and quarters. I mean, I don't want to leave. I'm like a native Nevadan. I think I miss the weather. I don't know where I'd rather be. You know, except maybe L.A. Another woman said, yeah, I'd like to see L.A. That was too much. I nearly jumped. I was all over this. If you've been following our show, you know we went to L.A. ourselves already. I try to tell them, no, you do not want to go to L.A. I had something straight. In L.A., there's long lines of posters like yourself. They don't. It's illegal for you to sleep in your car, to stay in there. And well, they don't. It's like they don't want you to do all that. They basically conspire against the homeless population. They're trying to rub them all out. I mean, in a way, they're basically worried about how much homeless is going to hurt the tourist trade. But I'll tell you, dang, it's just, they don't even sleep in your car. Then they have these ungodly restrictions about where you can sit. It's worse than L.A. We went over there. We went to every city that wanted to tell you L.A. was like the worst. I mean, you're lucky you're here. They looked at me and they laughed. Good to know. Thanks for letting me know. But luck belongs to the casino owners. I said to them, is that how you guys wound up here? Did the casino owners take you for everything? One guy laughed again and said, Nah, man, all that crap is for the tourists. All that gambling, that's for them. Man, people who live here, you know what happened? You know what, up here? Same way everybody else did. The same way everybody else will. Same way everybody else going to wind up on the street. And I laughed. I really laughed because this was kind of funny. It really was. But, yeah, no matter where you go, it's the same story everywhere. They got to a point where the place they were working told them they were fired because they wanted to save money. They hired somebody younger, willing to work for less, hopefully an immigrant. He's just like, don't send me back where I came from, and they couldn't afford their place anymore, and they were throwing the streak. They all have me, how'd you wind up with this gig? I thought, should I tell the story again? Well, I had to tell them. I had to tell everyone in town, yes, definitely. I told about McKinleyville, told about me, about Organic OK, and what he was doing, what we've been doing this whole trip, saving the planet. What does that mean? I mean, think about it. Saving the planet. Now, who really does that? Not many. A lot less people are trying to save the planet than you think. I mean, everyone's in favor of it. Everyone knows we should do it. We must. But we know it's getting worse every day. We hear about these endless number of health problems we've given to the planet. We've poisoned. We've actually hurt. We've crippled the planet. I know we did it for a reason. We had to build our society with comfort, and we had to basically become a dominant species, you know, battle all the animals who seem to have gotten a better deal than me and whatever. We've had to plunder the planet. I mean, in a way, it was okay at first because nature was abundant, but that's what we're here. We've made too big an impact on the Earth all this time we've been here, and now it's time for damage control. Yes, yes, yes. I know this all sounds really sanctimonious and preachy, doesn't it? As much as can be. Hearing speeches like this always is. I thought so. Or even before I was running around doing all this. All this save the world job, nothing new to hear, but there it is. And that's what we're doing. And you know something? I like to think there was some small, mild, moderate amount of improvement that we're making here. I mean, I know. Tomorrow people are going to see those clean streets and thinking, hey, now we can dirty them up again. Someone will clean up after us. And all the people who go through the planet, someone else will clean up for us. All the effort to dirt, you know, sometimes I think it's a lost cause going in. Because in a way, I don't think we're basically helping enough. But you know what? You take the shot anyway. That's what life is. I asked them why they were on the street, and they told me the same story as everybody else. Same story as everybody else. And the truth was, I basically just realized it's going to be the same no matter where we go. People are the same. People are people. Dang. So anywho, in the great scheme of things, I mean, I remember thinking to myself, are we really making a difference? I like to think so. I remember thinking, now dang it. Look, these people, they may be on the streets, but you know what? Some of them are still able to work and get by and are willing to pay bills and whatever and play ball. And you know, I need to get some of them off. I need to basically get them free. One guy told me, no, listen to me, man. I'm going to die out here. That's right. I'm going to die out here. I'm going to die doing this. I'm not going to be saved. I'm not going to be saved. Can't save anything from me. Can't save anything from me. I tried basically to do the job thing. I tried to walk the line every day. It didn't work. I'm just sitting back and enjoying life now. That's what you got to do. You got to once in a while enjoy it. But this guy had a real message. Because, I mean, the truth is, every single one of us, all bad breaker two ways in the street. Some don't want to go back there and have to fight to be a slave again, but to hold on to it for dear life. Some didn't. Some were just happy. They thought they were free. You know, in a way, these people are free. feel like everybody should listen to them. Everybody should take notes, but everybody's too busy trying not to be one of them. Vegas, it wasn't all bad around here. They're more homeless than anybody, but not all of them were in the worst. I mean, some of them were. I heard one of them basically say, well, look at this place. I would do anything to have a roof and four walls, have access to a shower and a toilet. I will do anything. Because I thought about that. I looked around at how well Vegas was obviously doing business-wise and how they could afford a program that's going to basically help people. There's money to do it. Those people who have that money want to make sure they have more money than they'll basically ever have. The one who basically has the most toys, the most money, wins. You're thinking they got more money than they'll ever need. They're all rich. Nope, they want everything. At the expense of poor, defenseless people who are being thrown on the streets. To waste away to nothing. Dang. I thought, okay. We've got to try to convince some of the homeless people. No. We've got to convince the shelter to expand their repertoire, to get bigger. We got to do that. We got to do that now. Dude, look around. They got money. You know what? The whole world will visit like Vegas and legalized gambling and prostitution. Well, I mean, Vegas wouldn't be so special anymore. But the truth was, I think we'd be out of this recession we're in. There's an answer. But basically, how do we do that? How do we do that? I thought, organic, can we go to a protest campaign, get them to basically give a certain kind of money to keep people off the streets? So, dude, for a lot of reasons, people don't want to because they just think that they're going to be getting harder money just to make sure people, you know, have a place to stay and they don't have to work. People don't feel like working.
But that's just, if people want to work, it's just there's no work around.
Look around. Sure, there's basically other things they could be doing here, other jobs, other stuff. You got something that's going to create employment opportunity. You think you can do all that?
Well, somewhat. We got to try, don't we? Come on.
Dang it. All right, man. We'll try. We'll do it your way. We'll do it. All right. Tune in from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces here, the one and only, accept no substitutions. All right, I want to thank you all for tuning in, really, honestly. Now, you can pick up all our shows on the web, on Blog Talk Radio, and get involved with the cause. Do something to help the homeless. All right. Want to hear what we did next? You'll find out next week on this show. DJ Butterfly. Tuning in. And please, do something about the condition. Thank you, and good night.